Asian Voice News, your global link.
The ruling United Party for National Development urged to lead by example and hold elective convention. CRAS warns night travel policy may fail without improved security. And three killed as unfinished building collapses on church service in Ghana. Good afternoon. With the lunchtime news at 13, I'm Angel Kasavo. Governance expert Wesley Mianda has called on the United Party for National Development, UPND, to lead by example by holding its party convention. Mr. Mianda said convening a convention would not only encourage opposition parties to do the same, but also help restore unity within the ruling party, which he described as currently appearing divided. Speaking in an interview with RCV News in Lusaka today, Mr. Mianda warned that failure by the UPND to hold its convention could lead to voter apathy among its members. He explained that some party members feel disadvantaged compared to others, which could weaken internal support. Voter apathy is likely to arise from members who feel sidelined and unfairly treated, said Mr. Mianda. Mr. Mianda further cautioned that the absence of a convention could affect how seriously the UPND government is perceived by the public. He has since called for greater transparency in the management of party affairs by those in leadership positions.
So let them have the convention, because they are the ruling. Let them have the convention. If it means having a convention where they will just say, no, we are going with HH. No, that's it's fine, it's a convention. But as for most of these positions, let other people actually come on board and as leaders, so that we have a new set of, a fresh set of leadership. That's what members of the ruling party are talking about, are saying. So let them have the convention. Further to that, division, there will be a lot of kafafa. And we are going to have voter apathy, because most of these members of my ruling will not actually do the vote.
Some Lusaka-based motorists have called on government to urgently expedite efforts to source fuel from alternative supplies, citing growing concerns over supply disruptions, particularly amid stations in the Gulf region which have affected global oil supply chains. Others have emphasized the need for authorities to invest in increased fuel storage capacity, noting that the country is currently ill-prepared to withstand prolonged shortages. Speaking in random interviews with RCV News in Lusaka today, the motorists who spoke on anonymity say that while the situation may be driven by external factors beyond the country's control, government must act decisively to secure alternative sources of fuel. In situations like this, motorists expect government to be proactive and cannot continue relying on one route when motorists know global events can disrupt supply at any time, said the motorists. They added that Zambia should prioritize revamping local storage infrastructure to cushion the country during periods of uncertainty.
You know, we need to start storing our own diesel for like situation like this, because right now as Zambian citizens, we don't have capacity to store our own fuel and so forth.
Government should just expedite the efforts of sourcing for fuel from alternative sources, because we don't know, the external forces, we have no control.
The Commuter Rights Association of Zambia, CRAS, has cautioned that lifting the night travel ban will not achieve its intended purpose if the current security concerns are not adequately addressed. Yesterday, Minister of Commerce, Trade and Industry, Chipoka Mlenga, announced that government will roll out the first phase of the 24-hour economy by lifting the night travel ban on commercial trucks and buses, effective 1st April 2026. CRAS President Aaron Kamoti says it would be misguided to assume that commuters can safely access bus stations at night amid rising crime levels. Speaking in an interview with RCV News in Lusaka today, Mr. Kamoti noted that people are already being robbed at bus stations during the day, adding that more will need to be done to ensure safety at night. Such policies would make more sense if security issues were addressed first, rather than implementing them in reverse, said Mr. Kamoti. Mr. Kamoti also expressed concern over poor road signage across the country, warning that this could increase the risk of accidents at night. He added that for a 24-hour transport system to achieve its intended purpose, there is need for the Road Development Agency, RRDA, to improve road signage nationwide.
People are being attacked even during the day. What about those people who knock off in the night? And most of our workers working for Shoprite and other chain stores, even on the Indian shops, their salaries are not much for them to be booking taxis in the night. One is paid the 1,000. And we have passengers who just board a bus when they are paid. After 2 or 3 days, they just walk. So are they going to be managing walking to their respective homes? And what have we done about the risk? Why is there protection? We have all over people being attacked during the day. What about in the night? So all that.
Zambia has secured over $30 million in climate financing aimed at shielding smallholder farmers from the impacts of climate change. The funding will support a project titled Catalyzing a Climate Risk Protection Shield for Zambian smallholder farmers, backed by a $25 million grant from the Green Climate Fund and $5.26 million in co-financing from One Acre Fund Limited. The initiative is designed to provide climate risk protection, climate smart agricultural inputs, and land restoration support to vulnerable farming communities across Zambia. Speaking at the signing ceremony, Ministry of Finance and National Planning Permanent Secretary Prudence Kaoma described the initiative as a decisive step in embedding climate resilience into Zambia's development agenda. Zambia is placing climate risk management at the core of its development. The country's accreditation to the Green Climate Fund is not just a technical milestone, it is a mandate to turn climate finance into concrete, measurable results for its people, said Ms. Kaoma in a statement issued to RCV News in Osaka today by First Secretary of Tourism at the Zambian Embassy in South Korea, Zondi Chilembo. She emphasized that the program will provide timely and predictable support to farmers facing climate-related shocks such as delayed rainfall or early seasonal endings, conditions that often force families to make difficult economic decisions. Ms. Kaoma said the project also aligns with Zambia's nationally determined contributions, reinforcing government's efforts to integrate climate resilience into planning and budgeting frameworks. Meanwhile, Zambia's ambassador to South Korea, Andrew Banda, said the initiative represents a key milestone under the environmental sustainability pillar of the country's 8th National Development Plan. He noted that the recurrent droughts and erratic rainfall continue to threaten Zambia's agricultural sector, underscoring the importance of international partnerships in addressing climate risks. In foreign news, 3 people, 2 women and a man have been confirmed dead after a 3-story building that was being used as a church collapsed on worshippers in the Ghanaian capital of Accra on Sunday. Interior Minister Mutaka Mohamed Mubarak said 20 others, most of them women and children, had been rescued and were being treated in various hospitals. Emergency teams worked through the night under floodlights, searching for victims inside the structure's remains. Coming up shortly, Russian oil tanker reaches Cuba after Trump appears to loosen blockade. This and more. Stay tuned.
HIV and AIDS has reached all corners of the world. All families in Zambia and Africa have been affected. When HIV and AIDS comes like it has, all suffer. Everybody should act to stop the spread of HIV and AIDS.
War against HIV and AIDS. Everybody should act.
Metropolitan Voice News, your global link.
And now for the rest of the news. A Russian tanker carrying oil to Cuba has entered the waters of the communist-run island, Russia's Interfax news agency reports. The oil shipment, the first to reach Cuba since January, comes hours after U.S. President Donald Trump said that he had no problem with countries, including Russia, sending supplies to the island. Trump's remarks appeared to signal a loosening of a de facto oil blockade his administration had imposed on Cuba since January.